Let us pray. Holy God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, the one who claims us by baptism into your family and who makes us holy each and every day. Amen. Have you met Mike and Jimmy yet? A 78-year-old Guatemalan woman named Doña Gloria asked this question of me as I arrived with the team to an orphanage in Guatemala. Mike and Jimmy. I was trying to remember kids with those names, and I could remember Miguel, but Mike is not a Guatemalan name. No, I told her, I have not met Mike and Jimmy yet. Well, she said, rolling up her sleeves, this is Mike, and this is Jimmy. And when she did that, she somehow made her biceps jump up and down. Have you ever seen that? I can't do that. Of course, at that point, the team had burst into laughter, some to the point of tears. And that was our introduction to the spunky grandmother named Gloria. And dozens of our team got to meet Gloria and Mike and Jimmy over many years. Gloria always had this twinkle in her eye and a hug for all who arrived at the orphanage, whether it be a street boy with some bad habits or a disoriented American. Blessed are the pure in heart. And I had assumed for many years that Gloria was a relative of the directors of the orphanage because she was there all the time. I was surprised later to find out Gloria was the mother of one of the workers. And in time, I learned more of her story. You see, Gloria's husband had been killed in a bus accident when Gloria was a young mother with children ages 4 and 6. Blessed are those who mourn. And after her husband died, she worked as a secretary for the Guatemalan Department of Agriculture and raised those two girls on her own. Blessed are the meek. After Gloria had retired, her daughter Monica was hired to work at the orphanage, and Gloria, she tagged along to help. And so when children were sick or had an emergency, like an accident, which you can imagine, 65 boys at an orphanage would get into frequent accidents, Gloria would go to the hospital with them, sometimes sitting up all night with the boys. Blessed are the merciful. Gloria would also go with the children when they had a court audience. This was very stressful for the children because they were going before the judge and were scared, and Gloria would be a peaceful presence. She would also be an advocate for these children who had often been abused or neglected. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for justice. This passage we heard from Matthew this morning, it's a familiar one, isn't it? We call this passage with all the blesseds, the Beatitudes. And it comes at the beginning of Jesus' famous Sermon on the Mount, which takes up 3 chapters in Matthew's Gospel. Can you imagine if I preached for that long? I won't this morning, I promise. And so in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan, is tempted in the wilderness with the devil, calls his first disciples, and then they go up the mountain, where Jesus gathers them really to teach and reinterpret scripture and law. He's teaching the disciples, what does it mean to be a disciple, to follow him? And he begins with this list of blesseds that I imagine were confusing to the disciples. And sometimes this word is a little confusing to us too. I think that this word blessed or blessed is a loaded word in our American culture. Well-intentioned people throw around the word blessed whenever they're feeling good about something in their life. If things are going well, finances are stable, health is robust, people might describe themselves as blessed Have you heard this? And I hate to admit it, I've thrown around the word in the same way sometimes. The problem, though, with using the word blessed in this way is that it implies when we're having a hard time, when we're struggling with finances or family or health, well, then we're not blessed. And this interpretation of blessed was exactly the problem in Jesus' world, too. In Jesus' world, it was commonly thought that those who were the haves were so because they were blessed by God. God favored them. And so the emperor, the government officials, the Pharisees, the high priest, the scribes, the landowners, they received divine favor. They were blessed ones. And so then what were the have-nots? The peasants, the lame, the blind, the poor, the women, the slaves? Well, these people were not blessed. They must have done something to anger God, something to deserve their lot in life. But if we look back to this passage in Matthew, we see Jesus describing the exact situations of the have-nots as blessed. Those who were disheartened or mourning or experiencing injustice or conflict, those who are suffering, Jesus is describing them as blessed. Those who are recognizing brokenness in the world and struggling against it. So what Jesus was teaching was the opposite of what the culture was telling people of the time. What Jesus was teaching probably sounded outrageous to the disciples. Jesus was telling them that not only were these blessed important to God, but that God was with them in their suffering, actively working alongside them to restore wholeness and bring about God's kingdom. One of my very favorite theologians is an 89-year-old Peruvian Dominican priest named Gustavo Gutierrez. He's considered one of the founders of liberation theology, which developed in the 1960s in Latin America and focused on biblical commitment to and solidarity with the poor. Gutierrez describes this Sermon on the Mount as laying out the ethical demands a Christian must meet, with the Beatitudes specifically describing discipleship. He notes that each category of the blesseds is matched with a kingdom gift given by God. Those who are poor in spirit receive the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn receive comfort. Those who are meek or humble receive an inheritance. Those who are hungry and thirsty for justice receive satisfaction. Those who are merciful receive mercy. Those who are pure in heart and sincere receive God's attention. Those who are peacemakers receive adoption into God's family, and those who are persecuted for justice's sake receive the kingdom of heaven. All of these gifts are received as part of the kingdom of God: wholeness, restoration, inclusion into God's family, mercy. These are all what we experience as we experience the kingdom of God coming to us. And Gustavo Gutierrez describes this kingdom as a gift, but also as a demand. He says, and I quote, "It is a freely given gift of God, and it calls for conformity to God's will to life. This is what is asked of disciples, that they live a life situated between gratuitousness and demand." And indeed, we are called to serve a cruciform life in tension between being grateful for what we have, while at the same time in solidarity with others, striving to work toward a world where all have what they need. How do we do this? Jesus hints at this in the Beatitudes passage. Did you notice the first eight of the blesseds are in the third person? Blessed are they. Blessed are the ones who. But look at the final beatitude. That one's in the second person plural. Jesus is speaking directly to the disciples at this point on that mountain. Blessed are you all when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That's kind of a hard pill to swallow. The disciples at that point maybe wanted to be categorized into one of the previous blesseds. Jesus is saying to them, it is risky to be a disciple. There's delayed gratification because God's kingdom and justice are inextricably linked. We will struggle in life together while trusting in God's promise that the kingdom of God is drawing near. And so blessed are you, and you, and you, and you, because Jesus has redeemed you and me, and we are made into a holy community. You and I are called to be prophets in this time and place as the holy ones before us. Those who stood up for Christ are not limited to saints that we read about or somebody who has the ST period in front of their name, but we are included in this list of saints too. You and I are called to stand up for Christ and God's kingdom as a holy community made holy through our baptism to follow those saints who came before us to seek justice, God's righteousness for the world. We are claimed by baptism, and in our baptismal promise, which we're going to hear shortly as new members are received, again, we are promising to strive for justice and peace in all the world. And this seems like an impossible task, but we are promised the Holy Spirit to guide and empower us each and every day. In fact, when Luther taught about the third section of the Apostles' Creed, the part that talks about the Holy Spirit and the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, life everlasting, Luther suggested that this third section be entitled Being Made Holy. Luther teaches the Holy Spirit sanctifies us, makes us holy through baptism, and continues to make us holy each and every day. And I love how Luther refers to the communion of saints, or the church. He calls them, and I quote, a holy little flock on earth, and a community of pure saints under one head, Christ, called together by the Holy Spirit, who places us in the church's lap, where the Holy Spirit preaches to us and brings us to Christ. Isn't that beautiful? And so it's only as a holy community made holy in Christ that we are able to embrace these blesseds and seek justice and peace for God's world. You know, I love the Spanish word for beatitudes. Listen to this. Bienaventuranza. All right, so help from Spanish studiers. Bien, what's bien mean? Good. What does this sound like? Aventuranza. I heard it. It's adventure. Beatitudes literally translates into Spanish as good adventures. And so looking back onto the life of that Guatemalan grandma, Doña Gloria, wow, did she have some good adventures. She ventured boldly into the places where God's blesseds were and was active in struggling together with so many to participate in God's kingdom on earth for the sake of Christ. And so made holy and equipped by the Holy Spirit, may we also have good adventures for the sake of Christ. And may we be saints like Saint Gloria with Mike and Jimmy, and like all of the saints that we remember today, seeking justice and peace in all the world. Amen.